Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the annual Superfan Super Mock Draft here on the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello everybody, I'm Pod Vader. It's an exciting time. All 32 teams, well, almost all 32 teams. There's a few teams that have an opening, but all 32 teams with a superfan making their pick, not for what they think their team will do in the draft, but for what they want their team to do in the draft. And I think you're about to find out our super fans want some crazy things, and they'll be challenged a little bit by me, but we need them to be challenged by you. We need you to let them know just how crazy they are wielding your team's favorite pick all willy-nilly the way that they did, thinking about today and not tomorrow or the future of your franchise. Send us your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com, and you can tweet us at NFU Podcast. Our Facebook page is always a great place to look. If you've read the show notes, you already know a couple of the things that have happened. There have been trades. We allow trades in this. I act as the commissioner. Of course, I also act as the fill-in general manager for the teams that were missing. Buccaneers, Titans, Lions. If you want to represent that team, send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. We'll get you in here, and we'll have you interacting with all the superfans. So you are right now listening to part one of the Superfan Super Mock Draft, picks 1 through 16. I know you want to hear the whole draft, but that would actually be a very long show. So you're going to hear parts 1 through 16 today, and then part 2 will release tomorrow. And of course, if you're listening to this tomorrow, then it doesn't really matter to you. You've got both parts downloaded, ready to go. And you got it from iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher or AHA Radio. Maybe you just asked Alexa to play the Next Fan Up podcast and you're listening to this right now on your Amazon Echo device. Who knows? However you're listening to it, thanks for listening. Share with a friend. And remember, send us those emails and those tweets. Do you agree with what your superfan did? I want to know. All right, here we go. Mr. Roger Goodell.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Yes, Mr. Goodell with the first pick in the 2017 Superfan Super Mock Draft. The Cleveland Browns are once again on the clock. And the pick that has been chiseled in stone, etched in steel, however you want to put it, Myles Garrett, the pass rusher from Texas A&M, is Superfan Ben's pick. Now, Ben, as I mentioned, this pick has pretty much been, this is as much of a foregone conclusion as a foregone conclusion could be. But I'm going to bring up an old friend of ours, Ross Tucker, who tweeted this out just Tuesday, April 11th, between the trade for me Jerry video, refusing to go on ESPN radio because of things that Booger McFarland had said about him, and the quote where he said, "I don't think I'm the smartest player in the draft, but if you consider all the things I think about daily, how many things intrigue me and I try to get involved in, I'm up there." Do you think Myles Garrett perhaps has let his ego get the best of him?
Oh, man, I haven't heard that one yet. That's pretty interesting. Man, I don't know. That's hard to tell. If it's ego that gets him motivated to, you know, sack the quarterback and stop the run, I'm all for it.
You're a team that pretty much needs everything. There isn't a position that you can't use an upgrade at. Okay, it's fair enough. But, Myles Garrett is clearly a player that's going to help you go a long way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think everyone understands the three tenets of the football. You know, stop the run, rush the passer, score touchdowns. I think he's going to help a lot with rushing the pass rush is something we've been allergic to for, I don't know, most of the time that since they've been back in 1999. I think he gives us a legitimate threat. I mean, I think he's going to kind of be what we thought Courtney Brown would have been. It's even more upside, which is hard to believe. Going back to 2000. But yeah, he's a heck of a player, and I look forward to him, going after all the AFC North quarterbacks.
Was there at any point any other player of consideration with this pick?
The interesting thing is if there would have been some sort of like trade scenario for if any of the upper echelon quarterbacks that had been available among any of the teams, that would have been in consideration in trading, or if there was like a star quarterback. But doing my research and kind of watching what I've seen, I don't think any of these quarterbacks coming out were significant, what I expected to be amazing or like surefire top 10 talent at the position. So if something like that had come out, I may have considered it. But Myles Garrett pretty much was the obvious choice.
All right, Ben, that was pretty easy. We're going to talk again at pick number 7. So just sit back and relax a few picks. I'll be right back with you. With the second pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Reuben Foster from Alabama. And with us now is Charlie, our San Francisco 49ers Superfan. Charlie, tell me about your pick.
Well, being at the second pick in the draft is definitely not optimal. Was hoping, as I hope, Mr. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan will try to trade out of this pick. Even at half, Jimmy Johnson value, draft value chart, if they're able to get half the picks is what that would mandate, I still think you'd take a deal. But in looking at all of the players that are on the draft, available on the draft at this point and the Niners draft need and the, safeness of a pick, you just have to go with Reuben Foster. He's the best, linebacker in the draft by far. He doesn't really need a whole lot of development. He's a polished product. A lot of people might say, what about Navarro Bowman? Thing is, Reuben Foster actually projects to be a will linebacker in the Niners' new 4-3 scheme. He actually has Bobby Wagner comps to him. It'd be perfect to have him as a will linebacker there next to Bowman. Plus, we don't even know if Bowman's going to be available after his horrible Achilles injury and his ACL and MCL and PCL and every other CL that he had in that playoff game in Seattle. So who knows if Bowman's even going to be the same guy. Reuben Foster, lock him up to be the next, Patrick Willis for the next 10 years. I'll sign up for that.
Was there any other player that you were considering with this pick?
Yeah, initially when the draft, came out and all the prospects were there, it was Malik Hooker. I knew the Niners were changing to that cover 3 scheme. As I started to watch tape on Malik Hooker, he's a safety that can't tackle. You can't tell me that John Lynch, a former safety in the NFL, is going to draft the safety that can't tackle. It's not going to happen. A lot of people said he was like Earl Thomas. Well, Earl Thomas can tackle and he can hit. Malik Hooker looks to avoid contact. So Reuben Foster is definitely a hitter. Watch some of his tape. He's someone that will really light people up.
Your current starter is Brian Hoyer. I've got another backup quarterback in New England that is more than available for the right price.
We'll just wait for Cousins. Washington could have probably dealt him for a second round pick. All they're going to get for him now is a third round compensatory pick in the ensuing offseason, because Hoyer will come and he'll probably sign a tad bit of a discount for his former coach that he wants to play for more than Jay Gruden. So I'll just go with that. Or we'll just draft a Sam Darnold or whoever ends up being the head quarterback next year, because this team's not a year away. We're several years away. We're going to be picking in the top 5 again next year.
How do you hope the draft shakes out for you? Who are you looking for in the later rounds?
Oh, I'd love to get a TJ Watt, a nice edge defender there to put opposite Aaron Lynch in the kind of big end position, pass rusher. But that would be the best. I'm actually for quarterback. If we are going to take a flyer on someone, let's do Chad Kelly. You know, if you watched Alabama's games and you grade your players based off of what they do to Alabama, Chad Kelly destroyed Alabama the last two seasons. So I'd be okay with going with a guy that's able to take down a Nick Saban defense.
All right, Charlie, you're good. Thanks for all your help, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Awesome. Take care, guys.
And the third pick of the Superfan Super Mock Draft goes to the Chicago Bears. They select Solomon Thomas, defensive end, Stanford. Tom is our super fan. Tom, tell me about Solomon Thomas.
Well, he's the second most talented player in the draft, so I thought it was reasonable to take him here. He's a really good defensive end. He seems to have pretty much everything you want, uses his hands real well. He's really quick. He's fairly strong, although he needs to get stronger, and he doesn't really have the length that that the Bears usually look for in a defensive end. But Ryan Pace is kind of biased in that respect. But I think he's definitely got the frame to get bigger. And, you know, there are people out there that think this guy, before it's all over, he'll be better than Garrett is and the best player, the best defensive player in the draft. So I was happy to get him here. The Bears pretty much need him. They need pretty much everything except guard and running back and center. And so, you know, I was definitely in a position to take the best available. Of course, I was thinking very hard about a quarterback here, but I thought, you know, if I just sat tight, if the draft fell the way I thought it would, that, you know, even sitting at 36, worst case scenario, I'd probably get the fourth best quarterback in the draft. That'd be Mahomes. And I thought if I traded up, maybe I'd even get the third best quarterback. So, you know, that was the plan for the draft. And once I had that, once I got a quarterback in, because the Bears need one really badly, they have to have somebody in the organization that they're developing. They have to start taking their swings at the position. It's a desperate situation. And once I got that out of the way, it was just best player available all the way around. They have needs everywhere. And although the players that they have in all these positions aren't, you know, they aren't always bad, they can always be improved. There's definitely a lot of room for upgrades just about everywhere you look. So, you know, in that respect, this was bound to be a pretty good draft, I think.
So a couple of things I want to ask you about here that you just brought up. You mentioned quarterback. I'm not going to sell you on the backup quarterback that my team has that's available for the right price, because your team does seem to be set with Mike Glennon going into this season as the starter. Plus, I don't think that there's a quarterback in the first round of this draft that's worthy of the first round. I don't think there's any quarterback in this draft that is as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you are looking for a quarterback, I would say Jimmy Garoppolo is your best bet. That said, you mentioned that Solomon Thomas, the second best player in the draft. What about the secondary? Maybe a Marshawn Lattimore, maybe a Jamal Adams?
Yep. Thought about both of them. Thought about Malik Hooker really hard. I like Malik Hooker, and I think that he'd fit in with their needs particularly well because he's a nice free safety. Free safeties are not easy to find. I mean, I thought very hard about all those guys. I thought about Jonathan Allen as well. All those guys were options there. I don't think it was a bad choice. I mean, I really don't. Among the four of them, I would have been happy with any of the four. I thought maybe, you know, Thomas had a little bit of an edge in that Allen and Hooker both, you know, have injury concerns. And the Bears, we've had enough of the first-round picks getting injured. You know, I think that they're probably, they should be fairly cautious about that this year in particular. And Jamal Adams is still there. He's a fine player. I would have been happy to get him. I just I liked Solomon Thomas, and I'm always in favor of beefing up the front seven. So I was happy to get him there.
All right, Tom. The horn signifies that we've come to the end of our time here on this pick. Hopefully I'm not talking to you again in this first round.
Okay, we'll see.
With the fourth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, our Jacksonville Jaguar Superfan has selected another, what I think is a no-brainer, the running back from LSU, Leonard Fournette. And Ryan is that superfan. So Ryan, I'm in total agreement with this pick. I imagine this was a pretty easy pick for you.
Well, for me, it was pretty easy. The only thing holding me back is just the general idea of not taking a running back early in the draft, which I kind of subscribe to, even though I love running backs. It's probably my favorite position, but I see that argument and kind of agree with it. But Leonard Fournette seemed just too good to pass up. Some people, I've seen both ways where people are saying he is as good as Zeke Elliott, and then some people are like, well, he's not quite there, but he's pretty good. I don't know. I've watched him, and he looks pretty darn good, and I will not mind at all seeing him in a Jaguars uniform.
What other position do you need to focus on as the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, I really, really feel like that position is offensive line. However, everything you read in here says, at least in the first round at the top, there's no real offensive lineman worth taking. So I also don't really want the Jags to trade down, because I'd like them to hit on some kind of amazing player. And obviously I picked Fournette. So I hope they can get somebody later in the draft, or if they're like somebody in the second round, I wouldn't even mind a trade up back into the first round if there's an offensive lineman that they love. And then, just like usual, I think almost for any team, even if you're set, defensive line and defensive backfield is always somewhere I think you can pick.
I don't know if you've heard yet or not, Ryan, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are in the clubhouse leaders right now for being my boyfriends for the 2017 season.
Ooh.
The Leonard Fournette pick has me extremely intrigued with what's going on down there in Jacksonville right now.
I'm glad we're courting you so well. We'll take you down to the beach pod, you know, and you can hang out with Leonard Fournette. Jalen Ramsey, who's on the team from last year. I'm cool with that. I just, maybe this year there won't be the massive hype train, and maybe that'll help us. Maybe the hype train will only come from Pod Vader, and I hope you'll be right. I remember, I don't know if it was last year or maybe the year before, but the Falcons were your boyfriends at one point, and then look what that did for them last year. They got to a Super Bowl. So, hey, it's a good sign for us.
Yeah, I was a year early on the Falcons,
right?
And then last year it was between the Chiefs and the Raiders that had caught my attention.
Ooh,
both teams did extremely well. I really like what Jacksonville has put together so far this season. I think they've definitely addressed their secondary concerns. They're always addressing the defensive line. I would probably say the only other place you might be considering a little bit of assistance would be in the linebacking core. Again, there isn't necessarily that guy that stands out at pick number four.
Nope. And obviously our San Francisco guy liked Reuben Foster. So, you know, who knows what happens with him. I believe he's a linebacker. We actually don't have his position on our draft here. But linebacker is a weird position for the Jags, because you have Paul Posluszny, who's getting old, but he's still really effective. Then you have Miles Jack, who was taken last year but didn't really play much, and I'm confused. And then Telvin Smith, who I would say is really good. But that's just three. If one of them gets injured, there's pretty much no one behind them, so sure that they could look at that. The other part of the pick, as being a super fan, is I grew accustomed to the Jaguars having a Pro Bowl to you know, maybe all pro to maybe Hall of Fame quality in running backs for like over a decade with Fred Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew. And now the last 4 years or so, we don't have one. And I'm tired of it. I like the running back and I want to have a great one.
Well, I think you made a great pick here, Ryan. And again, Jacksonville is definitely high on my list to be my boyfriends for 2017. It's not 100% official, but it's pretty official.
Well, it's all on Blake Bortles. Let's just hope he goes back to, well, to being even better than 2015. That's all we need. And then we'll be fine and we'll be your boyfriends from here on out.
All right, with the fifth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Tennessee Titans are on the clock. And since we are without a Tennessee Titans Superfan, although you could become one if you were to send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com, I will make the choice here. But since we don't want to necessarily just hear from me, I have invited one of our top draft guys to join me, and this is our Washington Redskins Superfan, Neil. Neil, I ended up choosing the cornerback Marshon Lattimore for the Tennessee Titans here. Ultimately, I was going in between Lattimore and Jamal Adams, the safety. A lot of people are saying Jamal Adams, you know, possibly one of the safest picks in the draft. My thought, though, is with Logan Ryan now on the Tennessee Titans, you put Lattimore on the other side of the field. And you added Jonathan Cyprian to the safeties. So to me, I feel like now my secondary is a little bit more balanced and even. I've got good players at all the positions in the secondary, and I'm feeling good about that.
Jay, I think you made a terrific pick here. When you're picking at number five, I think you have to take one of the elite players. Regardless of whether you actually need the player or not, you've got to take one of those elite players. Don't go reaching for one of the really good players. Take one of the elite. And in this draft, we've probably got seven elite players, and Marshon Lattimore and Jamal Adams are two of those players. So what a choice at five, Adams or Lattimore. Great problem to have, and you made a good one. Lattimore's weakness has been he's been a little bit injured in his time at Ohio State. And that's hamstring problems he's had, but he's a good player, good size. If he turns out to be a top player, you've just locked down one side of the field, and you can then re-enter your discussion, Jay, about top cornerback or top pass rusher. So this guy's a good player.
Yeah, well, and that was sort of the other reason why I went with Lattimore, because if I'm going to stand by my thought that a shutdown corner is more important than a pass rusher, then I better go with the cornerback in this spot. The other thought I had with the Titans was going with another weapon for Mariota to throw the ball to, but I didn't really like the options at wide receiver in this spot, because it was really, am I going to go with the Clemson guy and Mike Williams, or am I going to go with John Ross, the speed guy who, you know, talk about injury concerns. He's had a couple as well. So I thought that sticking on the defensive side of the ball was in the Titans' best interest here.
Absolutely smart pick. Like I say, you've taken one of the top seven players. If you took Davis or you took Williams, that's probably a wee bit of a stretch. Did you, for example, inquire about whether MD wanted to trade with you? So you maybe dropped three or four spots?
I didn't proactively go out and search for a trade in this spot. No one actually came to me with any trade offerings to move up into this spot. I do feel that the Titans, if they're presented with the same problem, Marshon Lattimore and Jamal Adams, are going to be pretty happy with either of those two picks, despite not adding another weapon. But they do have another pick later on in this draft, and so maybe that'll be a spot where they can get a weapon to complement Mr. Mariota.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've done the right thing, Jay. Good, good pick.
With the sixth pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the New York Jets will take safety from LSU, Jamal Adams. Andrew, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm ecstatic to get what I think is the second best player in the draft at number six.
I have to say,
all over again.
Yeah, I have to say, and we discussed this with Neil previously, as I had to represent the Tennessee Titans right before you, I was going back and forth between Marshawn Lattimore and Jamal Adams for the Tennessee Titans, who are also looking for secondary help. Ultimately went with Marshawn Lattimore, thinking that the McCourty could possibly move back to safety. And so looking for the other side of the field as the Titans picked up Logan Ryan. That's why I went with the cornerback over the safety. But I am reading a lot that Jamal Adams could be a difference maker.
Yeah, he's kind of what the Jets wanted Terrell, Calvin Pryor to be. A guy who could play deep, play the deep pass, and also play in the box and provide a physical component to their defense. Pryor has not lived up to that billing, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was traded either A, for the Jets to move up in the draft, or B, just for a later draft pick. Him and Sheldon Richardson are probably the two guys on the team who are on the team now who I would be shocked if are still on the team at the end of the offseason, not including cuts. Maybe guys like Marcus Gilchrist or Buster Skrine, Adams is a freak of nature who provides impact on both aspects of defense, whether it be run support or pass coverage. And today, I mean, we're taping this on the day of his pro day. He ran a 4.33 at his pro day, which is a big difference from what he ran at the combine, which was 4.56. And people usually run faster at the pro days, but still 4.33 is 4.33. He has the speed to cover the back half, which was one of the concerns with him. But watching him on film, the guy's a missile, and he has better ball skills than Pryor, and he makes plays more than Pryor did when he was at Louisville.
Yeah, I take all those times, you know, with some sort of disbelief. But at the same time, when you look at the film and you watch the guy play, you sort of understand that who cares what the stopwatch says? You only care what the film says.
Right.
Remind me again who your quarterback is, because a quarterback hasn't been drafted yet in this mock draft.
So my question to you would be, does it matter who the quarterback would be? Especially a rookie who would be playing with a team with a shoddy offensive line, with an okay but not spectacular running game, and a receiving core that just lost number one option. I wouldn't feel comfortable putting any of these quarterbacks in that position, especially when next year's quarterback class is so loaded at the top with guys like Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Josh Allen and maybe even Lamar Jackson. They're in this exercise. I'm supposed to be the GM, but the idea of job security doesn't especially. I mean, I don't know. You tell me if I'm going to be the Jets super fan for much longer, Pod. But my point is that the only way I could see the Jets taking quarterback in the first round is if Mike Maccagnan, and not even Todd Bowles, because I think Maccagnan has more say about personnel, if he feels pressure for his job. And the job security to me is always something that fans don't really look at in terms of decision making. And honestly, it's usually the number one decision maker, and it usually leads to bad decisions being made, because if you're making a decision based off to save your job as opposed to what's going to make a team better in the long run, then you're playing two different games. So if I'm the Jets, it makes no sense to me to take a quarterback, especially when you took a quarterback, no matter what you think about Christian Hackenberg, I'm not a fan. I wasn't a fan when they drafted him. They took him in the second round last year. The Jets aren't going to be good this year. They're likely going to get a top pick in next year's draft. And if a guy who's sitting there that could well possibly be the second best prospect in the draft is sitting on the board there at number six at a position of need, which granted the Jets have, as the only position of need the Jets don't have is probably defensive line. Everything else could be upgraded. I would take Jamal Adams in a heartbeat.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. I'm more giving you a tough time than anything else, because when you look at the top of this draft, there's no way the Browns are taking a quarterback with number one. That pick has been ironed I mean, that's been set in stone probably since last year. Never mind set in stone now. The 49ers, I doubt, want to take a quarterback at this point, considering whatever it is that their philosophy is right now on building their team. Brian Hoyer, I think, is slated to be their starter at this point. The Bears, they don't seem to be in the quarterback, or at least don't appear to want one of these quarterbacks, not with the third pick in the draft. The Jaguars aren't taking
I think that's an important distinction, though. I think that's an important distinction, though. It's not that they don't want a quarterback, that they don't want any of these quarterbacks. Yeah. And if there was a guy who checked off most of the boxes and is a top five quarterback talent, granted, the Jets did not have a single chance at him. The fact that we just named three teams at the top of the draft who, by any objective measure, have a need at quarterback and are all likely to pass on quarterback is an indictment of this quarterback class. And I wouldn't take a quarterback at number six, especially with a team that probably has the most depleted roster in the league right now. I mean, maybe Cleveland, you could say, but Cleveland still has a ton of assets and they got started on their rebuild a couple of years ago. The Jets tried to simultaneously rebuild and contend. And it worked out 2 years ago, almost worked out. They went 10-6 and missed the playoffs in typical Jets fashion. They were as good as possible without making an impact and got the worst pick in the draft but for a team not making the playoffs. And then this year, everything came back to bite them and Ryan Fitzpatrick came back to earth. So it's like they're 2 years in the hole now. And it's not like they hit on a ton of guys in the draft the past years. I mean, Leonard Williams, sure, is a stud. But Darren Lee I didn't expect Darren Lee to be a stud right away, but he showed flashes. But it's not like they have building blocks on this team that are untouchable and that you know are going to be there for the next 5 years, aside from Leonard Williams.
So what are your other positions that you're looking to fill through the draft at this point?
That's a funny question. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic there or not. Everything. Best player available at any position. The one position I think the Jets are pretty decent right now at receiver with young talent. I like the guy that got in the seventh round last year, Sharon Peake. He's big. He's fast. He makes contested catches. Robbie Anderson showed some flashes as an undrafted free agent last year. They still have Eric Decker. I'm not a Devin Smith fan, but they took him in the second round a couple years ago. He kind of had a lost year last year after a torn ACL. They have young talent there. So I probably wouldn't invest a high pick in a receiver, but literally any other position, cornerback, outside pass rusher, another inside linebacker, go to Darren Lee to eventually replace David Harris, a tight end, offensive tackles, a center. There's in a force quarterback. So everything is on the table. I'm just going to go best player available at every position. Hope you hit on a couple of guys and get this rebuilding process started.
All right. That's Andrew. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate you.
With pick number 7, it's the Cleveland Browns. Ben joins us again. Ben takes quarterback from Texas Tech, Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. He's the first quarterback off the board. Ben, this is supposed to be the New England Patriots making a pick here, not the Cleveland Browns. Where's Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh man, I wish I could have gotten the New England super fan to play ball with me and trade. I was willing to give up a premium amount of picks for Jimmy G, and he wouldn't have it. He's a believer. I mean, he's the cult leader over there.
What's a premium amount of picks? But before you just throw that out there, I need to know what a premium amount of picks is.
Yeah, I mean, I was willing to go, number 12, and then if there's any players you wanted or any sort of combination of picks, I think we have about, 40 second round picks over the next couple of years. He could have had his way with those, and he wouldn't have it. I mean, it was a non-starter. I don't even know if he'd give him up for like Andrew Luck or any of those guys.
Well, Patrick and I will have to have a discussion at the end of tomorrow's podcast about this. But in the meantime, you ended up trading up even to make sure that you got this quarterback. Why were you so concerned that a quarterback wasn't going to fall to you at number 12?
just being involved and listening to the other guys, I know how important the quarterback position is. I know how teams like the Texans are, and the Jets are starved. I actually tried to get in front of the Jets with the Titans, but ended up was able to make a deal with the Chargers. I was, you know, because I think you'll see it throughout the draft, quarterbacks go early and often. And I didn't want to risk Mahomes falling to 12. It only took me a fourth round pick to move up. And we had, you know, we have, you know, a ton of picks. And when we picked 14 players last year, I don't think we need another, you know, double digit draft class to come in. And so that decision is pretty easy. Like, I felt pretty good about Mahomes. I like his tool set. That's a nice canvas for Hugh Jackson to work with. You know, he's got the arm strength, the mobility. He played a lot in college, and, you know, he put up numbers and all that. Just, it was an easy decision.
Considering that your team did not follow my plan for how to make the Browns great again, you do need a double digit draft class because you do not have enough players on your team to make the Browns even close to contenders at this point.
I don't know. I think if we get a quarterback that can actually, you know, move the ball downfield, I think our defense is going to be instantly upgraded just by having Greg Williams. Going forward, we have some dire safety need help. I mean, that should be, I mean, we should probably spend two of our picks in the top three rounds on safeties. And then if we can get Garrett rushing the passer, we invested a lot in the offensive line. Hopefully Hugh Jackson remembers to run the ball this year, something he's kind of seemed to forget about late in games last year. I think with the revamped O-line, running the commitment to running the ball and a quarterback that is at least serviceable, I think we can be a halfway decent team, certainly better than a one win. But playoffs next year is probably a stretch, but I think if all goes according to plan the year after, assuming that we hit on Mahomes, I think it's a reasonable expectation, especially with Roethlisberger getting older, you know, Andy Dalton being Andy Dalton. And, there's no real team in the AFC North that I think is super scary outside of the Steelers.
Yeah, I've got some bad news for you, Ben. You're the Cleveland Browns. That's the bad news. and the other thing is, I don't think any of these quarterbacks are worthy of anything. You needed to try and come up with some sort of deal. I mean, even if you let's take Jimmy Garoppolo off the board. You just mentioned safety is a major part of upgrade. Jamal Adams went just before you made this pick at number 7. Perhaps giving up quite a number of those picks to move up just to get Jamal Adams. If you add Myles Garrett and Jamal Adams, well, now you're starting to build a solid center there on that defense.
Absolutely. So, I think I would rather, instead of spending a bunch of picks to move up to get a safety, though, I'd rather sit back and pray that Buda Baker falls to me. I actually think he's even a better scheme fit, kind of that Swiss Army knife for the Greg Williams defense. You know, he can play the slot. He can play the free safety. He's not afraid to tackle. Don't get me wrong. I think Adams is a great player, too. But I'm just, you know, when I think of the class, there's actually quite a few safeties in the class that I even think are pretty good. There's the guy from your neck of the woods. I don't even want to try to pronounce his last name, from Connecticut. You know, he's kind of a big guy that I think has some potential. Yeah, that guy. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. We could have the best defense in the world, but if we don't have a quarterback that can at least, like, run what looks like it could be an NFL offense, it's really not going to matter. I'm tired of watching these I'm so tired of watching their defense be on the field 70% of the snaps. I just can't do it. I can't do it another season, Pod. I just can't.
Well, Ben, I have bad news for you. You're the Cleveland Browns. All right, Ben. Best of luck to you. We'll be talking to you again down the road. I assume you're extremely happy with the way the draft has turned out for you so far.
In April, I am.
There you go. The Superfan Super Mock Draft rolls on, and at pick number 8, it's the Carolina Panthers. It's been a long time since we heard from this guy, but Jimmy Six makes the selection, and it's the defensive tackle from Alabama, Jonathan Allen. Jimmy, tell me about your pick.
Well, when Jonathan Allen was available, we sprinted to the podium and took Jonathan Allen. There are other needs of the team, but I just feel like the value of Jonathan Allen at number eight, following to us, we have to take best player here. Cannot pass up on him. I think he's a Fletcher Cox type of player, type of impact player, and just to be able to get him to fall to us and add him to that defensive line, especially with Kawan Short and Star Lotulelei kind of their future in the air. I'm really excited to be able to pick Jonathan Allen at this position. He was not expected to be there.
Who are some of the other players you had your eyes on?
I hope we focus our eyes on the defensive side of the ball again this year. And I know Carolina Panther fans are frustrated because it seems like we take nothing but defensive linemen. But I really think we need to shift our gears back to the defensive side of the ball again. I would love to see Solomon Thomas, maybe Derek Barnett. And like I said, I would love to see Jonathan Allen fall to us. And another guy that I'm starting to toss the idea around is Reuben Foster. And a guy brought up to me today, he's like, do you think Luke Kuechly's coming back? And if you do, well, I definitely think he's coming back, but do you think he's coming back to what he was? Or is he going to be calling it quits? Because that last image that we saw of Luke Kuechly is pretty scary, and he must be thinking about his future long term. So that's another question. I think Reuben Foster is a very quick, great impact player. Another guy that, especially with Thomas Davis getting up there in age, if Luke Kuechly is staying around for the long haul, Reuben Foster is that guy to just add to that mix of Kuechly, Davis, and Shaq Thompson. I've seen a lot of mocks of Leonard Fournette, and I'm just not very high on Leonard Fournette. I feel like he's been a couple of years since he had that huge year, and he's kind of been a little injury here, injury there, but we're just not that high on him. I think we can get value at the running back position in the later end of the draft, so I hope we avoid the running back spot in the first round, but that seems to be the favorite for a lot of the mocks.
Well, I think you might be right, and besides defensive line, I think you're onto something with the linebacker position. With Luke Kuechly up in the air and Thomas Davis getting older, I think linebacker is definitely an area the Panthers should be looking to improve upon. What about that secondary?
Well, secondary, I think with the draft we had last year, I think Bradbury is going to be a player. So I'm not too worried about Bradbury. And the second guy is still a mystery man. Corner is definitely still a position that needs to be addressed. I would love to see us also maybe look at Jamal Adams, the safety position. We did sign, I'm losing the guy's name. We signed a safety from Indianapolis this year. So I think safety is a lesser concern, especially being able to move Kirk Coleman back to free safety. I think Mike Adams, the safety we signed from Indianapolis. So I think I'd love to see Jamal Adams fill that gap and just kind of be that long haul safety for over the years. But I think corner is definitely a possibility. I just don't know if the value that the type of player is going to be there at number eight. I haven't really heard of too many big guys. I know the one corner coming out of Ohio State seems to be the big flyer name. But I could see us. We do have two picks in the second round. I could definitely see us using a pick in that corner position in our mock draft. There's that flurry of corners that seem to go to the very top end of the second round. I could see us taking a corner in that first pick in the second round for us.
Mike Adams was the guy that you ended up picking. By the way, this just in, the Colts defense, not very good.
Yeah, exactly.
So when picking free agents from the Colts, not exactly a positive move. All right. Jonathan Allen was your pick. It sounds like you're happy with that pick. So congrats to you, Jimmy, and hope to hear more from you down the road here.
Yes, I'm glad to be back. It's going to be football season here April 27th, and we're ready to kick it off.
All right, the first wide receiver is coming off the board here at pick number 9. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. Scott is our super fan. He has selected the wide receiver from Western Michigan, Corey Davis, and you noted championship.
That's right, a turn off the old TJ Houshmandzadeh fantasy football draft commercial.
Tell me about Corey Davis. Clearly, wide receiver is a position that the Bengals used to have a lot of strength in, but lost a bunch of guys last year.
Yeah, I think most people expect that the Bengals are looking for a defensive end with this first pick. And I agree. The problem is that with Jarrett obviously off the board, I think Solomon Thomas would be the guy they would love to get, but I don't see him slipping that far. Jonathan Allen, if he were to slip back to him at 9, that may be a guy that's in play. So I think what they're left with at number 9 is either reaching for a couple defensive ends like a Derek Barnett or a Taco Charlton, which I could see them trying to trade back to get those guys. But if they stay at this pick, I just don't see them finding the value in Barnett or Charlton, which is why I think to go with Corey Davis. The Bengals have been pretty good at sticking to their best player available. And wide receiver is a position of need as well. With the losses 2 years ago of Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu, the Bengals struggled last year to find a second receiver. Obviously, A.J. Green's our number one, and, you know, it presents a difficult problem for the defenses, but they weren't able to find that speed guy on the outside of Green. And as a result, teams were really able to focus in on Green and just make sure that he didn't beat them alone. So I think what they get here is they get Corey Davis, a big receiver with pretty good speed, a guy that can go downfield. But he's also a guy that can be groomed behind Green as their future number one. You know, A.J. Green, I believe he's 29 years old. So, you know, he's not old, but he's also not young. You know, so thinking about, you know, grooming a guy to become that number one isn't a bad idea at this spot either. So I think if they keep this pick, I think it comes down to Corey Davis or the tight end O.J. Howard from Alabama. But the Bengals have a couple young tight ends on the team that I think they like. And as a result, I think they go with the first wide receiver off the board of Corey Davis.
You mentioned a trade. Is that something that you attempted to do? Did you try to trade out of this spot?
I myself did not. I liked to stay in this position. However, I think the Bengals would attempt to trade out of the position. The problem is I don't see anyone wanting to trade up. You know, I don't see the Bengals looking to trade up, but I don't see anyone else wanting to trade up. The one scenario I could see is if we get to pick 9 and no quarterbacks have come off the board, I would assume that the Browns are probably going to take a quarterback with their second first round pick. And therefore, anyone that might want a quarterback would be looking to get ahead of the Browns. And that's where the Bengals could find a potential trade with this first round pick.
How are you hoping the rest of the draft shakes out? What other positions are you looking for later on?
Well, like I said, I think their number one goal, that I think their biggest weakness right now is at the right defensive end. They have Carlos Dunlap on the left, but they don't have an outside pass rusher to complement Dunlap. And they've had problems the past few years getting pressure on the quarterback, particularly from the outside. So I think they would love to get a pass rusher, but the way that the board fell, at least the way it fell in this draft, unfortunately, that didn't happen. The pass rushers went pretty early, and then again late in the first round before the Bengals got the pick. So I think ideally they would get a pass rusher early in the second round. If that pass rusher's not there, I would expect possibly a pick of a running back.
With the 10th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Buffalo Bills select the free safety from Ohio State, or am I supposed to say the Ohio State University, Malik Hooker. Robert is our super fan. Tell me about your pick. You got a guy that's been mentioned a couple of times already in these early rounds.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how I got so lucky. I was just kind of sitting there waiting for, you know, kind of the best available guy to pop up. Little did I know it was going to be the guy who I've seen going as early as number 3 on mocks, seeing him number 5 pretty consistently on mocks. I mean, so I'll take it. Drafting at the 10 slot, getting someone who is really, you know, a top 5 guy in this draft. He plays that kind of center field safety, can play the robber role, has really good instincts, had 7 interceptions last year, has only been playing football. This is really like his 5th year coming up. He really didn't start playing football until his junior year of high school. So he's still kind of raw. So, I mean, lucky for the Bills. I hope the draft breaks this way and they get someone, you know, as good as Malik Hooker in the actual draft, plus bonus points for being able to buy a jersey with the last name Hooker on it.
You mentioned that he's kind of raw. Is that what getting better looks like, though, when you're in a division with the five-time Super Bowl champions?
Listen, I understand. Yeah, he is raw. He started his junior year of high school, so he's really only played. This was his fifth year. But, you know, he already has natural instincts. And as I've heard you once say on the podcast, you can't teach that. I think he's going to have trouble his first year, to be completely honest. But I think that he's a player that, you know, once he gets a little bit of experience under his belt, he's going to be a Pro Bowl level talent and one of the three or four best safeties in the NFL from year three and beyond.
Who are some other players you had your eyes on here?
At this point, I was looking, I was looking at the receiver position a little bit. The one that I liked, I believe, went to, I could be wrong here, because we did this a little while ago. I believe that Davis might have went to 9, the wide receiver from Western Michigan. I was looking at the receiver position, thought about O.J. Howard, who fell quite a bit in this draft. I think he went to 17. You know, he's, in my mind, you know, one of the best players in this draft. But, I mean, Malik Hooker is just, for me, was just too much of a value to pass on. Even if it's a position the Bills don't necessarily need to fill like they need to fill other positions, he's just so good that you can't pass up on him.
What are some of the other positions you're looking for later on?
Cornerback for sure. Bills are switching up their defense. It's going to play, Rex Ryan and that debacle. They like to play man, so their corners are a little bit more man, you know, man-to-man, island-centric. The Bills are now going to be playing, you know, cover two, kind of that cover three look, assuming that they go with the same things that McDermott has done in the past and their defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier's done in the past. So I would look to cornerback, maybe bring in someone who fits that kind of cover three role. A guy who I like in the second round is Tankersley, cornerback from Clemson. I'd like to see them get better depth at linebacker. I mean, just because that's also the Carolina defense where McDermott was the defensive coordinator. Linebacker was kind of the star of the show. So I feel it's going to be a point of emphasis. Wide receiver, for sure. Sammy Watkins is great when he isn't dealing with a bum ankle. However, he's dealing with a bum ankle quite a bit. Other than that, you really just have a bunch of number three, number four guys. I wouldn't mind seeing them bring in someone fairly early, maybe the second or third round, that could run it, you know, possibly run with the first team fairly early. Just basically any offensive weapon. The team needs offensive weapons. I do have a sneaking feeling that they are going to address the quarterback a little earlier than I would like, but, you know, the way Tyrod's contract is structured, I get it.
All right, Robert, good job. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Have a good one, Pod.
And with the 11th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the New Orleans Saints take the outside linebacker defensive end from Temple, Hassan Reddick. Chris is our Superfan. Chris, tell me about your pick.
Sure. You know, the Saints need anything on defense, just anything. Reddick is a incredibly versatile player, came into college as a corner, ended up playing defensive end, and then is now transitioning to a weak side linebacker position. He gives them three down versatility. He's able to put his hand in the dirt and rush on third down while staying on the field as a weak side on downs one and two. I couldn't pass it up. You know, there was a run on corners early, but, you know, if I didn't get one of the top guys, and yeah, he was there for the taking. I was happy with it.
What are some of the, you mentioned corner, what are some of the other positions you're looking for? Basically anything on defense?
Pretty much. You know, as this draft goes along, you'll realize that there was a the listeners will find out. There's just a horrible rash on quarterbacks. I was kind of hoping to grab one of those.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Well, it gets interesting. But no, you know, the safeties, I was hoping a shot at Hooker or Adams, but you know, who am I to take away Rob's joke of getting a Hooker jersey? So he ended up in Buffalo, and I ended up with Reddick.
You got defense. You still have the Malcolm Butler situation up in the air. I assume that's going to be something that will be done before the season begins. You jettisoned your angry Devo wide receiver to my team. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You mentioned quarterback. Is there any other position on the offensive side that you might be considering here? Maybe the tight end?
I did consider Christian McCaffrey at 11. He'd be the satellite back to Saints of Lex since Darren Sproles. O.J. Howard is a stud. I don't think tight end's a need for New Orleans, but it's hard to pass up with somebody who's so talented. But besides that, man, it was all a defense at 11. I wasn't really considering too much else. Quarterback I flirted with, but we need to win today.
All right. That's Chris, the Saints superfan. Talk to you soon. With the 12th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, we have the San Diego Chargers. They had traded back to this spot. They had traded with the Browns, who ended up taking the quarterback. I still can't believe the team traded up to get a quarterback. But the Chargers select the wide receiver from Clemson, Mike Williams. Ken, what do you think of your pick?
Well, I made a mistake trading back, and this is a perfect example of why fans should not be GMs. Because when the draft started, I really wanted to target one of those big wide receivers to complement Keenan Allen, just because we saw what happened when he left, and then really showcased last season what little depth we had at wide receiver with Steve Johnson going down and all that. So I really locked in on those two wide receivers. So at 7, I had the pick of the two wide receivers that I was targeting. But then I saw a trade come up, and I thought, you know, I'll trade back. I don't think both of those wide receivers will be gone at 12. And so I wanted to pick up the extra 4th. But what I missed was Jonathan Allen was still on the board, and I would have much rather had him and gone best player available. However, that being said, I would be thrilled if the Chargers got Mike Williams, even if they didn't trade back and they got him at 7. But I do wish that I had taken Jonathan Allen out of Alabama, who went, I believe, a few picks after where I traded out.
One pick after where you would have picked.
Yeah, I made a mistake. But, you know, I am happy with Mike Williams. I think we saw him showcase his talents in the national championship game. I like that he plays well in big games. I think Rivers will really benefit from having that big threat that he's had over the years with Malcolm Floyd more recently, and then with Vincent Jackson in the past. Rivers hasn't been able to go deep as much as he used to love to do, and that's because of the talent that he has around him with Keenan Allen, which resulted in more of a quick passing game, which he's really great at. But I missed that deep ball, and so I really wanted to get a stud, big wide receiver to give Rivers a red zone threat and a deep threat.
Yeah, you mentioned the big guy, because in terms of a deep threat, John Ross, the speedster, is still on the board. Also, though, you've got that aging tight end on your team. Perhaps the heir apparent and O.J. Howard also still on the board here.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned tight end. I feel very, very confident with Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry showed us last season. I mean, I believe he led the NFL, for rookies anyway, in touchdown receptions for tight ends. And he was a really consistent threat for the Bolts. I believe he got injured towards the end, but he showed me enough to say that's going to be my tight end for the next 7 years.
All right, fair enough. How are you hoping the rest of the draft shakes out for you?
Well, it's a little disappointing that the offensive line wasn't crop this year, wasn't as good as it has been in previous years, because I'm still very, very, very concerned about protecting Rivers. It was something that, again, with injury last year, there was an issue. And so I would love to shore up that line. hopefully the Chargers will be able to do that in this draft. I don't know if they should do that at 7, especially with the prospects that I've seen. But I would love to get the line filled out. And then, you know, maybe the defense, we definitely need a safety of some sort. And then we still need a nose tackle, because once Mebane went out last season, the Chargers really had trouble stopping the run.
All right. That is Ken, the San Diego Chargers superfan. Actually, you're not even San Diego. I don't know why I just referred to you that way. You're the Los Angeles Chargers of San Diego.
I do not recognize those first two words. I don't recognize those at all.
With the 13th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Arizona Cardinals now on the clock, and they are going. This card is wrong. Quarterback, Clemson, Deshaun Watson, Dr. Jones. Where did you get your medical degree?
Well, after I learned how to spell championship, it was very easy to hand in such an illustrious draft card as this. He's got a championship pedigree, super excited in the Valley. You know, Arians, he's talking about there's probably one quarterback of these top three that's plug and play right away. I believe it's Deshaun Watson. He's also talked about, you know, throwing arm strength, speed. These are things that can be taught with proper footwork drills. So I'm pretty excited about Deshaun Watson. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Cardinals have other needs, though, my friend. A backup quarterback right now is definitely not the spot to be looking at pick number 13.
So here's what I have to say about that, right? We were championship contenders, or so we thought, last year. Clearly, what we thought was not reality. I don't believe we're going to be picking 13th again at the end of this year, even with some of the departures we had in free agency. This might be our only shot to get someone with this guy's skill and talent level. Steve Keim has said all offseason that sooner or later you have to put your name on a quarterback. One of Bruce Arians' closest friends in life is Dabo Swinney, head coach of Clemson. The way this guy has been proving himself year after year at the college level, I think it's time to put our name on a quarterback. And if it's not this year, I mean, you saw what happened to Carson Palmer. His injury history is not going to get better. The guy's turning 39 years old. He might have one or two more years left in the tank, and I don't think we want to turn the car keys over to Drew Stanton anytime soon. So you got to jump in the pool, and you got to swim at some time, and I think this is the year for the Cardinals to do it. I also, when you look at the draft board, Reuben Foster, Corey Davis, Hassan Reddick, Malik Hooker, these are all guys we wanted to take, but they were off the board quick. I mean, I'm living in a mock draft world where Pat Mahomes goes in the top 10. I thought that was crazy. Reuben Foster went number 2. Absolute nuts. So you got to make championship decisions. You got to have the stones to do it. This is the year for the Cardinals to do it.
All right. Well, there's clearly other positions that your team needs to compete in that NFC West. What other players, besides the ones that you just mentioned that are off the board, did you have your eyes on?
Well, I definitely had my eyes on many cornerbacks. Obi Melifonwu, his scheme versatility, his positional versatility between safety and cornerback was something that I coveted. But I really thought he'd last till round 2. Tez Tabor, this is someone that the team had been talking about all season, but I think with those 40 times that he put up, there's no way you can take him this early. Lattimore. A lot of the Ohio State cornerbacks, these are people that we have our eyes on as well. I just don't think they're going to be around when we pick. So in such a deep corner and safety draft, I felt that holding off till the second round for that is something that we would be able to do. And it actually worked out perfectly. I'm sure we'll talk about it another time, but the guy I wanted fell to me right there in the second round. So the way the draft is rolling, hopefully will be somewhat like it is 2 weeks from now. I think you got to jump in the pool at some point. And I don't think the Cards are going to be picking up this high next year. And because of that, we have to take a chance. It's not like our first round picks have been playing year one anyways. We've got Jonathan Cooper, who I don't even know if he's still in the league, was 4 years ago. You've got Kemdichie last year, who might have played a total of 100 snaps the entire season. And then the year before that, DJ Humphreys redshirted the entire season. DJ Humphreys played last year and did really well. I think we're expecting the same kind of return from Kemdichie this year, with Calais Campbell leaving for Jacksonville. So we're used to having our first-round pick redshirt their first year, and I don't see any difference here unless something catastrophic happens with Carson and Drew Stanton. I think Deshaun's going to get all of the coaching that he needs from Bruce Arians and Tom Moore. And if they can't coach him up and they can't teach him up, I don't think there's a coaching staff in the NFL that could.
All right. Well, if you want to mock Dr. Jones, please do so at NFU Podcast. Send us an email, nextfinup@gmail.com. We will accept all the mocking that is necessary for any of our super fans that select a quarterback in the first round of this year's draft.
That's fine. I'll take it.
With the 14th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock. They select the running back from FSU, Dalvin Cook. James, our Philadelphia Eagles super fan here. James, running back, is that really the top position of need right now for the Eagles?
Well, there are actually three top positions of need for Philadelphia right now: running back, cornerback, and wide receiver. Not necessarily certain which order I would rank those three right now because they're all of dire need. Ryan Matthews can't carry the load like we need him to. He doesn't have the speed or the durability. The other running backs are too young and still have trouble picking up the blocking scheme. Wide receiver, our core is mediocre at best, atrocious at worst. There's no consistency outside of the tight ends. Wentz favors the tight ends more than he does the outside guys. And unless Jordan Matthews can get deep over the middle, ball's not going anywhere. And at corner, well, you know, our secondary got toasted last season, allowing the most plays over 50 yards and the most long touchdown passes than any other team. So we finished dead last in those two categories. But based on how this draft so far amongst the other superfans has played out, cornerback and wide receiver that I wanted were already taken. If he was still available, I would have gone for Mike Williams from Clemson, wide receiver. Even though we did sign Alshon Jeffrey, I don't expect him to be back if he has a great year. So I'm pretty much went with the third option here, running back. Pretty much get a nice balance running back in there. He has the speed. He has the power. Pretty much he can learn on the fly. He can pick up the blocking scheme and stay in there pretty much in most downs and provide that much-needed element we haven't had pretty much since the former genius head coach traded away arguably one of the best running backs in the league to Buffalo.
Joe Mixon still on the board.
Yeah, I still like Cook better than Mixon. Mixon is a little small. Speed back, which is not bad. But we already have a small speed back in Smallwood, who's already, you know, we drafted last year. So that pretty much would be two backs serving the same role. And not to take anything away from Mixon's talent, I do believe that he is in some regards getting blackballed by the rest of the league, because if we're just going straight on talent, regardless of his off-field issues, there are players on rosters who have done significantly worse. So before anyone jumps down my throat saying, but what he did when he was in college, we have pros who have done worse, who have, you know, been in allegations for assaulting women, murder charges, whatever have you, and they're still on rosters and no one bats an eye. So I don't want anyone coming after me about, you know, Mixon. But the league, pretty much GMs blackballing him, talking about he's at best a second-round pick, at worst a fifth. I think it's a crock. He deserves to be drafted, and he probably should go in the first round. I just feel that his skills already match by what we have on roster.
Any other players you had your eyeballs on at this particular point?
At this point, outside, like I said, outside of Williams, the wide receiver at Clemson, he was pretty much my sole pick, and once another super fan picked him ahead of me, I had to go scrambling to see which defensive backs were available. None of the ones that I like were still there. Pretty much not for the first round anyway, at least not this high up. I think ideally what the Eagles will do, they may make a trade up into the top 10, probably around that 9-10 area, and draft either the corner or the wide receiver of their choosing. based on who's available and who's willing to move back a couple of spots.
What ammunition do you have to move up? You've traded away all your picks.
Well, no, we swapped thirds. I don't think we have a second this year. I think that's the only pick we don't have. But I'm pretty sure a package could be put together. There are still some players on the roster that the Eagles would like to move right now. So it's not hopeless, but anything could happen. Crazy things happen on draft day. Trades normally happen completely out of left field, and you're trying to figure out where this come from. So there are some players who could fill a roster spot on another team as far as a reserve, maybe even compete for a starting role. So I'm not saying we have big assets, but we do have some depth that we can afford to trade away.
Yeah, teams give up first-round picks for Sam Bradford. Crazy things happen all the time. James, good job, my friend. I'm sure we will hear you on many a Thursday to come.
All right.
With the 15th pick in the 2017 Superfan Super Mock Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Derek Barnett, outside linebacker, defensive end from Tennessee. And our Colts Superfan, Dan, is here with us now. Dan, tell me about your pick.
Really a pick of opportunity. He's a guy I've seen go much higher than 15. So I was thrilled to get a guy that was ranked high, had a lot of production at his time in Tennessee. He was sick during the combine, so his athleticism scores didn't grade out very high, but I'm hoping his production on the field translates to success in the NFL.
I'm assuming defense is probably pretty much where you've got most of your eyeball set, although offensive line is always concerned to help keep Andrew Luck upright.
Yeah, definitely a defensive-minded draft. I'm going to take a heavy focus on the defensive side. Offensive line improved throughout the year, but I'm hoping that another year, another offseason under Joe Philbin can bring that offensive line together, get some cohesion on the offensive line, and then defense. They addressed it a little bit in free agency, but it seemed like they focused more on depth signings than they did look for starters. And the need for defense is pretty out there. So going defense early and often, especially if the players like Barnett continue to fall to me.
Any other players you had your eyeballs on?
I did. There were a couple other defensive pass rushers out there that I had my eye on. I ended up getting another good pass rusher in the second round. But I also was looking at defensive back. Defensive back, they really just have Vontae Davis and nothing else. So that was another one I strongly considered drafting Humphrey and White. But at the end of the day, I think the production from Derek Barnett was just too good to pass up at number 15.
All right, Dan, great job. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks.
All right, with the 16th pick in the Superfan Super Mock Draft and the last pick here for part one of our mock draft, we have the Baltimore Ravens. Dan is our Superfan. I'm sorry, Don is our Superfan.
Man, that's cold.
I just spoke with Dan. That's what it is. Dan. But Don is going to select the wide receiver from Washington, John Ross, the speedster. A natural fit here for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking at, offense primarily in this round. Either Mike Williams or Corey Davis. I mean, John Ross, I mean, what worries me, of course, is, the combine speed, having the record for, the fastest 40-yard dash. But, I mean, in this league, if there's one thing I've learned is that speed kills. Yeah, I know we have Mike Wallace who, somehow got 1,000 yards last year, which is still amazing. We have Breshad Perriman who, he has the actually a fun stat I saw was he is since Harbaugh took over the coaching duties, Breshad Perriman has the second most receiving yards out of any receiver drafted by the Ravens. Again, this is since 2008, and he has 499 yards. It just tells you what kind of luck we've had at drafting receiver. I mean, Torrey Smith had some very decent years with us at best. He was a speed threat, but nothing more than just verticals. From what I've seen on John Ross, he can do, you know, he has a route running to go with the speed. We've made some nice additions on defense, especially in the secondary. The pass rush still worries me. I was looking at some pass rushers at 16, but ultimately we need another receiver. I don't want to bring Bolden back. He's old and slow, and he never even cracked 1,000 yards in this offense. So I'm willing to roll the dice and go John Ross.
All right, you mentioned some of those other positions. How are you hoping the rest of the draft falls out here for the Ravens?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if we draft a pass rusher with the last, you know, six or seven picks that we have, that's fine with me. Because, I mean, Doomerville's gone, Suggs is old. We have some guys behind that, but you know, no one I really trust as far as a premier pass rusher. You know, defensive line, you know, took a little bit of a hit with the trade of Timmy Jernigan. But we have enough run-stuffing bodies up front to be able to hold up there. I mean, we're deep at the 3-4 defensive lineman position. You know, secondary-wise, I think we're okay for now, especially after we re-signed Lardarius Webb, which I'm decently excited about. I mean, got him cheap enough. But, I mean, as far as the rest of the draft goes, against pass rush, right tackle is still a concern with Rick Wagner going in free agency. Another guard or two wouldn't hurt. Center they may find in-house. You know, if they draft a center in the fourth or fifth round, I'll be quite all right with that. But as long as we got to get some more speed on this team, because, you know, as the season went down, we saw how, you know, we got killed by speed on defense, and we didn't have enough speed on offense to keep up.
All right, that is Don, not Dan, our Baltimore Ravens superfan. Good job, Bob. Don. All right, so that's going to do it for round one of the Superfan Super Mock Draft. And by round one, I mean we're halfway through round one. Picks 1 through 16 have been done. Some crazy things have happened. We've had some trades. Quarterbacks are coming off the board. I can't believe quarterbacks are coming off the board. What's going to happen in round two? I can tell you even more crazy things are going to be happening. So make sure you're subscribed to the show on iTunes or TuneIn or Stitcher or AHA Radio so you get all of the Next Fan Up podcasts, and be ready for round two of the Superfan Super Mock Draft. With that, here's Jeff Fisher.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.